Hello, welcome to Talking Europe. I'm sure I'm not the only one to have got frustrated trying to book rail travel across Europe. One platform tells you that your journey can't be booked. Another online platform says yes, but you have to buy separate tickets for different parts of the same trip. And if something goes wrong, it's not always clear which company you're supposed to contact. Now, add the cost of international rail journeys into the mix, and you can see why a lot of people are still opting for air travel, especially for no-frills airlines at this time of year. Now, flying, of course, might not be particularly compatible with the EU's carbon emission goals. And you might also say that low-cost carriers are not even that low-cost anymore. But from a practical point of view, planes are still an obvious choice for a great number of Europeans. That doesn't mean, of course, that we shouldn't be trying to boost rail travel or to make it more competitive. And we're going to discuss how that might be achieved with two MEPs. Virginijus Sinkevičius is the vice chair of the Transport and Tourism Committee, and he is a Green MEP from Lithuania. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'm also joined by Jan-Christoph Oetjen, a German MEP from the Renew Group, and he's a member of the Committee on Transport and Tourism. Welcome to you as well. Let's start with you, Jan-Christoph Oetjen. I suppose if we were to look on the bright side, there have been a number of new routes established in 2025, quite a few of them involving Germany, actually, Paris, Berlin, Amsterdam, Munich. So there are some good news to report.
There's some good news. There's some new connections between big European cities, but there's room for improvement. Huh? There's not even a good connection between Berlin and Amsterdam, even though it would be obvious to have a good connection there. So I really think that we should step up and improve the connections, especially between the big cities in Europe.
And you've spoken about the problem I mentioned in the introduction about buying tickets for multimodal transport, to use a technical term, but it just means transport across different types of transport. That's an even bigger problem when you cross borders, right?
Yeah, it's a nightmare today to book a single ticket that brings you from your point of departure to your point of destination if this is in two different countries, and even more complicated if you want to use different modes of transport. So what we're aiming for is to have a proposal from Commission for a single ticketing initiative so that we can have those cross-border connections with one ticket where the customer can choose and be sure that he arrives on destination. Mm.
Virginijus Sinkevičius, of course, you were a European commissioner when the boss of the commission proposed this single ticketing idea, and twice it ran into problems, you know, at the national level, national operators, vested interests and so on. Just tell us a bit about why that's so difficult to achieve.
Well, the main thing is, of course, the low margins, low profit margins that the national operators actually earning from the carrier of people. Let's say, for example, cargo is much more profitable, and therefore, of course, they are afraid that with the single ticket, those margins will be even lower. Well, I think it's a bit honestly blown out of proportion. I think it's a shame that we don't have such a tool available to people in Europe to ensure that they can book a travel. I think to me and to the national carriers should be much more bigger problem is the infrastructure. That we still don't have enough fast rail links, high-speed rail links, that half of Europe is not connected by rail. In particular, for example, the Baltic states, Scandinavian countries, and even Poland, I wouldn't say that is well connected. So we definitely have two speeds Europe here. And even on the side where we sort of have infrastructure, not everything is perfect. And if we truly want to make train travel attractive to people, it must be offered and for the Europe as a whole.
Yeah. On you and nodding, Jan-Christoph Oetjen, I mean, this whole notion of harmonizing rail is really a key component, isn't it? Because if we want to build these high-speed rail connections, we've got to sort of overcome this fragmentation somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we have different angles how to address this. First, could be the same language spoken by all the train drivers, because they all have to speak the national language. All this is already hampering cross-border connections. But at the end, I really think that for the passenger, what is most important is that it's reliable, that it's cheap in a way, and that, that there are connections. Obviously, in Eastern Europe, this is more complicated. But even on the other topics, it's not always that rail is delivering the good results. I'm from Germany, so I can tell you lots of stories about this. And there we have to improve as well rail so that it's reliable and that people can trust on it.
So it's not quite as efficient as the reputation used to be, you'd say, of German rail, for example.
Well, German rail has its own issues, but especially when you want to cross border and you don't have you have a connection and you want to, you need to use another operator, and you have not the right then to change just and hop on the next train because the ticket was foreseen for another train, but you are late. There are lots of problems that need to be addressed.
Yeah, and on the whole question of margins for the companies, you were saying, how would you kind of solve that? Because obviously, unless that can be addressed, air travel is just going to continue to be more attractive to a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, when the people will have their trust in rail, that it's on time, because rail has many good things to offer. For example, you know, you mentioned low-cost travel, which is going to put many extra charges on you. Of course, the parliament is also looking at it with the air passengers directive, but still it will take some time. On train, you know, you can bring your bag, you have more leg room, you can walk. So there is definitely alternatives offered, plus it's much more climate responsible. So therefore, I think this value proposition, if you look in general, it's there. It's just not enough routes that are covered, especially with the high-speed speed rail. So we need a significant investment into infrastructure, because if you compare, for example, Europe's rail infrastructure to Asia, we are lagging behind. And I think we significantly need to step it in. And I think it's going to be our job to ensure that the future MFF is actually looking at it. And that's the only possible solution where you can attract people to use rail, and therefore, you know, the costs for operating train on certain routes can be covered.
You mentioned climate. I just wanted to quickly rebound on that with you, because obviously you were the EU Commissioner for the Environment. How do you think what's happening with rail? How does that fit into the net zero targets?
Well, that, of course, has an extremely positive impact because that significantly decreases, you know, the air emissions is still unsolved. Yes, there is a try with SAF, but it has...
With what, sorry,
with SAF? The sustainable aviation fuels.
Okay.
But it has significant limitations and companies has very limited access to it. Still, it does not get us to zero. So, of course, trains are much, much more sustainable as a solution. But as I've said, you know, you cannot... It's extremely important that people cannot be sort of penalized when the infrastructure is not there. People will make their choices, but there must be infrastructure. Same goes with electric cars. When there is no infrastructure, charging infrastructure, for example, people won't be buying into it. Same with the rail. Many would like to choose, but how can you do that when the infrastructure is just not there?
I just wanted to get your thoughts as well, Jan-Christophe Otjen, on this question of net zero targets. How important is rail in that equation if we have different technologies, maybe hydrogen, that will affect different forms of transport, not just rail, but, you know, cars, planes and so on?
Well, the aim on the long run is that all modes of transport are green. So that it's for climate reasons not important if you take the one or the other. But this is not the case today. So we are investing in alternative fuels, for example, in hydrogen, in new infrastructure in order to use alternatives to classic fuels. And this is the right track. I just want to join the colleague on infrastructure. I think really that we need to have the investments and that we need a dedicated investment tool on a European level as well to create this infrastructure. But we need competition in the market as well. We see in Italy, for example, that with different players in the market. We have better services today. We have different companies running high-speed trains between the big cities. And so we have more passengers at the end because there are good services and there is competition and this brings low prices.
Competition within a member state, but a lot of competition across the EU maybe is what's contributing to these problems that passengers have booking tickets over, 6 months ahead and so forth.
If they could buy it with the same company, this would be easier. But this is very often prohibited by the member states that another company, foreign company, sells the tickets in the own territory. So I really think that this ticketing initiative could solve this.
Yeah. Not too much time left. Any final thoughts from you, Virginijus?
I'm looking actually positive for the upcoming mandate. We are 1 year in. We still have 4 years, and I think the priorities are set clear. Now we're going to enter, I would say, one of the most important debates, discussions on the future budget, where I think the priorities has to be clearly featured and rail infrastructure must be among them, because at the end of the day, it also can significantly cover military mobility needs too.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much to both of you, my guests, Virginijus Sinkevičius and Jan-Christoph Oetjen. Thanks for joining us for this discussion about rail travel in Europe. No doubt many of you will be taking a train this summer. Happy holidays, and we'll see you for more debates here on Talking Europe in September. Do join us then.